We don't think that we're being influenced by the world. But man, we're being influenced. It just creeps in subtly. And it takes over. And before we know it, we find ourselves doing the same things that the world does. And when we do that, we have lost the influence. We have lost our Savior.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2 from Psalm chapter 11. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2.
Man, we can get out here and let somebody know that there's a Savior who loves them and that died for them and wants to save them from their sin. Man, we got to get this message out. If we don't get it out, if we keep it in, then guess what? It's not going to get out. You are the salt of the earth. And so you got to get this message out. And you know one thing? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can't get everybody, but we can get some. There's somebody out there that God has for us. We all heard the story about the guy that was walking along the seashore one day and all these starfish had washed up and he was walking along, picking them up, throwing them back in. And somebody came and said, well, you can never throw all of them back in. And he reached down and picked one up and threw it back in and said, yeah, but there goes one that appreciates it right there. You see, we can't get them all. We can't get them all. But if the foundations are being destroyed, we got to get some of them. We got to get some of them. Man, there's folks sitting in this church right now. You were a part of the crumbling foundation. You were adding to the crumbling foundation. And somebody came and sprinkled a little salt on you, and you got right. Now, we need to go snatch some other folk. We need to shore up the foundation. This thing is serious, y'all. I don't know if you know that. This thing is serious. You just keep on doing nothing and see what happens 5-10 years from now. Ed Sullivan wouldn't let him sing on his show back in what, the 60s? Late 60s? Let's Spend the Night Together. He wouldn't let him sing the song on his show. Look what they sing on the shows today. The foundation is continuing to crumble. And you know what? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And unless we as God's people decide that we're going to do something, it's going to be destroyed and we're going to find ourselves. You know, think about it. Your freedoms, you know, there's going to be one day that Pastor Glaze, if things keep going the way that they are, that Pastor Glaze is going to be standing in the pulpit, and I'm not going to be able to say anything. Now, once again, if you're a drunkard, you're wrong. If you're committing fornication, you're wrong. If you're committing adultery, you're wrong. If you're lying, you're wrong. If you're stealing, you're wrong. All right? But there's one day that I'm not going to be up and stand in the pulpit and say that homosexuality is wrong. I'm not going to be able to say that. The way that our society is going. Why? Because the foundation is crumbling. And so we need to realize that we need to start snatching some folk from the fire. We need to start cleansing some folk up around us because that's what salt does. You are the salt of the earth. Secondly, we see that salt conserves. Salt conserves, or another word is salt preserves. Look what I wrote in the notes. This is powerful. This is powerful. In Jesus' day, before refrigeration, salt was used to preserve foods. That's the only thing they had. They didn't have the ice box or the general electric or the freezer. They didn't have any of that. The only thing they had was salt. And they would put salt on something, and that was the only thing that would preserve it. As a matter of fact, salt was so valuable. It was so valuable that during the time of Jesus, soldiers received an allowance of salt as part of their pay. That's how valuable it was. Instead of them coming out today, somebody tried to give you some salt on your job, you would get salt tea. You would break up on them. What she talking about up in here? You're not going for that. But I mean, back in Jesus' day, salt was so valuable that's what they paid for with salt. So have you ever heard the phrase, the origin of the phrase, worth your salt. Or worth the salt. Where did that come from? Well, it comes from the fact that salt was so valuable. And so people would use the phrase, well, you know what? If I'm going to pay you, then you're worth your salt. Okay, if you're doing a good job and I pay you, then you're worth your salt. That's how valuable salt was. Now, this blew me away when I saw this, that the modern English word salary, check this out. The modern English word salary is derived from the Latin word salarum, which originally referred to the direct payment of salt as wages to soldiers. So the word salary actually derives from a Latin word that was used for payment to soldiers, the salt payment. So we see salt was very valuable. And why was salt so valuable? It was valuable because it preserved. That it's not going to do you any good to have a crib full of food and it go bad. So what would be the most valuable thing that you could get to preserve your food? Salt. So salt was that preserving agent. So you know what God intends for us to do? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We can be the salt of the earth. What does that mean? That means we preserve. That if righteousness is to be preserved on this earth, it's up to you. Genesis, and I'm not going to turn there. Genesis 1, 28, it's in your notes. It's in Genesis 9, 1. God said to Adam and Eve and to Noah, he said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, was he talking about replenish the earth with a bunch of ungodly sinners? No, I don't think so. When God was talking about replenishing the earth, he was talking about replenishing the earth with righteousness, with righteous life. And, you know, we need to be about the business. That's why, you know, as parents, you know, we need to try to influence our kids as best as we can to live righteous lives. Because we are to be reproducing righteous lives. That's what God has called us to do, to bring your children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now, that's not going to mean that they're going to follow it, but you can say one thing, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Now, whether you want to come along with it or not, it's up to you, but this is going to be the way that we go, all right? So, I mean, it's up to the parents to try to preserve that righteous life among the children. You know, I get frustrated with that sometimes just because of some things that have happened in my own home. But you know what? It hasn't weakened my resolve. It hasn't caused me to think, well, you know, this stuff don't work, you know, that I'm not supposed to do this. No, you know what? You got to keep on, man. We're going to try to influence many folk as we can because God has called us to produce a righteous seed. Powerful passage in Genesis. Chapter 18. I am going to ask you to turn there. Genesis chapter 18, a passage that all of you know, have heard at some point in time. Genesis 18 and verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up to me, and if not, I will know them. So God said he was going to go down and destroy the city. And the men turned their faces from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, look at this, powerful, powerful, powerful. Will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? God is looking for righteous folk. God is looking for righteous folk because he's going to hold back judgment when he sees the righteous. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are in it? That be far from thee to do after the manner to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within that city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. And Abraham and God, you know, whittled this thing down and bargained it all the way down. But you know the thing I want to point out? What was holding back? Or what could hold back the judgment of God? The righteous people. Man, you know, just think about maybe the only reason that America is at least holding on to some vestiges of sanity, of decency, is because of a few righteous folk. Because the foundations in our nation have been destroyed. I mean, they really have. All that's good and godly have been destroyed. And maybe the only thing that's kind of holding this ship together is that there are some righteous folk. God is looking down and saying, look, I've left a remnant. And God always talks about a remnant. I've left a remnant there to try to have an influence. And I'm not going to destroy right now because I'm going to let the righteous have an opportunity to do their work. Man, you are the salt. You are the salt. You are. You are. The government is not the salt. Hollywood is not the salt. NFL is not the salt. You are the salt. And God said, I left you here. I left you here, man. I left you here not to promote and spread sin, not to be bad examples to other people and lead them in the way of sin, but I left you here for righteousness' sake. I left you here to be a godly remnant. I left you here to say, look, this is what God is looking for. Not from a proud and egotistical standpoint, but from a standpoint that you are the salt and you are to be bringing that righteous influence to the world. You are the salt. You know, just think about this. I had bought some strawberries, and I forgot that I had the strawberries. And I looked, and you know what? Strawberries have started to rot and get mold on them. But not all of them did. But the ones that touched up against the other ones, you know, caused them to get rotten. And the ones that were kind of far removed, you know, they were the last ones to get rotten. You know, my point is, listen to this, that you know what? If we don't do anything, guess what's going to happen? Rottenness is just going to take over. Rottenness, that's just the nature of the universe. You know, everything is dwindling down. You know, that's the law of thermodynamics. You know, it's all dwindling down. The law of entropy, all things are wearing down and winding down. So it's just a law that if you don't do anything, things are just going to rot. And if the salt has lost its savor, then you know what? If the Christian doesn't do what he or she is supposed to do, it's just going to continue to go downhill. Salt cleanses, salt conserves. I like this right here. Salt complements. Salt complements. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, salt is also used for seasoning. And if you take just a little pinch of salt, you can flavor a whole plate of food. Just a little pinch of salt, you can flavor a whole plate of food. So what does salt do? Salt complements. You know, you the places where you are, you should be making a difference. Once again, I'm not saying that you need to, as I always, my favorite expression is that you don't have to take the Bible and walk around and beat people over the head with it. You don't have to take your giant print Bible to your job every day and walk around like this. But I'm saying that, you know what? You should influence folk. You know, I was working out with a guy one time at the gym. And he, you know what he told me? He said, you know, I like coming to the gym and working out with you. I said, I thought, because I'm strong, you know, and you know, we can pump some iron together, or because I'm a Christian, and you know, I can, you know, maybe share some things with you as we work out. He didn't say either one of those things. You know what he said? He said, I just like being around positive black men. I said, wow. I mean, you know, this brother was, I guess, in a lot of situations where he just wasn't with, you know, positive brothers. And so to be in the gym with some positive brothers meant a lot to him. See, influence. Influence. You know, you could influence somebody for bad, and you could influence somebody for good. You know, there was this preacher, he had a parrot. And the parrot just had the nastiest mouth. I mean, the parrot would always say something nasty. And so he just said, he was thinking about getting rid of the parrot. And there was one of the ladies in this church, and she said, well, maybe I need to get him with my parrot because my parrot is a spiritual parrot. You know, all my parrot says is, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. All day long, my parrot says, let's pray. Let's pray. And so he said, well, it can't hurt. So he let the lady take his parrot. And as soon as the parrot got over there with the other one, the parrot said, hey, baby, how about a kiss? And the other parrot said, my prayers have been answered. Influence. Influence. You see, instead of the godly parent having influence, it just went the other direction. And that's a sad thing about many Christians. You know, we're like the other parent. We talking about let's pray, let's go to church, let's go to Bible study, let's read the Bible, let's memorize verses, let's sing Christian song, let's listen to Christian music. But as soon as the world comes and say something, all my prayers have been answered. My prayers have been answered. You see, man, you are the salt of the earth. And if you don't make a difference, if you don't influence, then nobody is. Two verses. Well, one verse. Let me read Proverbs 14 and verse 34. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Proverbs 14 and verse 34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So as we think about being an influence, you know, we need to realize, first of all, and you know, it amazes me, two things. Number one, I know I'm going to step on some toes, but that's all right. The number of people that don't vote, and then secondly, the number of people who vote and they're not informed. It just blows my mind. And yet and still, this is where the policies are being made. This is where the folk are getting who's running our country, and we are not becoming a part of the process. Now, it don't make any difference. It does make a difference, you know, who you vote for. But this is my point, that we are not making a difference in places where we can make a difference. You know, it's a shame. It's a shame that folk are not voting. It's a shame that's not, you know, that's a privilege, a duty, a responsibility that has been given to you by God and this country. Amen. And so people say, well, you know what? I didn't vote, so I'm not going to complain about whoever's in there. That's not a good attitude. Amen. That's really not a good attitude. You know, you need to find out what's going on. You know, because once again, we ask the question. And I'm just trying to break this thing down for you. You know, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? All right, now I got quiet in here. Maybe some folk not voting. That's all right, but you go get registered tomorrow. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What do we do? Just sit back and keep letting the world elect folk into office? I'm not saying that, you know, the person that we vote for is going to get in, but at least I can stand with the conscience to say I did my best to try to get somebody in there that I know that was going to promote righteousness. I did my best to try to get a righteous person in there. Now, whoever it was, and you know, it blows my mind, you know, even as you look at Reagan, you know, I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about Christians that love the Lord, Christians that are sold out for God. On this side, well, you know, Reagan was one of the greatest presidents that we ever had. On this side over here, man, you know, Reagan, he was a dog. Well, I mean, you know, you got divide, you know, you divided even among Christians. Was Reagan good? Was he not? All I'm saying is vote. That's all I'm saying. You know, go out and vote and make a difference, man, because wickedness is going to continue to grow. And somebody said all it takes for evil to prevail is for good people to do nothing, to do nothing. If you do nothing, then we just going to continue to see the ship go down. It's going to continue to go down. Salt, it complements. And then finally, salt cures. Salt cures. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. The phrase, if you look at your notes, the phrase, take it with a grain of salt, was used to refer to its healing properties. To eat or drink something with a grain of salt, in a sense, was to practice preventative medicine. A person would do this if they were suspicious that the food they were eating might be poison or might cause them illness. They would take it with a grain of salt. So that's where we get that expression from, take it with a grain of salt. What did it mean? It meant that they realized that there was some curing element in the salt. What is my point? My point is this, is that there are some hurting folk in the world. There are some hurting people in the world. And you know what? If the church is not being the salt, to reach out and try to heal the hurts of society, then guess what? The foundation will continue to crumble. This passage in Romans 14, Paul said in verse 15, Romans 15 in verse 14. He said, I am also persuaded of you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to admonish others. That word admonish comes from the Greek word noutheo, and it means to instruct or exhort. You are able to instruct those who are hurting. You are able to exhort those who are hurting. You saved, you sanctified, you filled with the Holy Ghost, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God has put within you what you need to go to a hurting world and offer some kind of cure. Man, it's amazing. Every week we get calls from all over the city of hurting people who need to hear a word from the Lord, who want to sit down with a biblical counselor, and who want to hear a word from the Lord, who says that I know that there's a word that God has for me. And I heard that Bethany Baptist Church has biblical counseling, and I'm calling because I need to hear a word from the Lord. Now, some folk don't know that this is biblical counseling, and they call and we tell them this is biblical counseling. And they might not necessarily be looking for a word from the Lord. But most people that call are looking for a word from the Lord. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. That, you know, the word is going to tell them one way to get healed. They're going to tell them, you know, they got to do this and do that and all this, jump through all these hoops and all this. What are we going to tell them? We're going to give them the word of God. We're going to let you know that the word of God will heal your soul, that the word of God will minister healing to you. You are the salt of the earth. You are the healing agent. And you might say, well, you know, I don't really know how to use the Bible to help folk. Well, see, that's why we got a Bible Institute. That's why we have biblical counseling, to train people how to use the word of God to help folk. See, you don't even have to go through the counseling to become a counselor. You might just go through the counseling just to learn how to use the word of God to help people around you who are hurting. You are the salt of the earth. And I close this morning. I close in Matthew chapter 5, where we started. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, with what shall it be salted? It is therefore after good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. If you are not cleansing, conserving, complimenting, or curing, I'm just going to say this because Jesus said it, you're good for nothing. You're good for nothing. Now, you know, like sometimes as a pastor, I can't say that to anybody individually, but from the pulpit, I can say it to everybody collectively. That if you're not cleansing, if you're not conserving, if you're not complimenting, if you're not curing, Jesus said, you're good for nothing. You know, there was a guy who had stockpiled all kind of salt, and over a five-month period, he didn't check on it, and the salt turned bad. And you know, the only thing he could do was just take it out and throw it in the street and let people walk on it. Good for nothing. I don't want to stand before Jesus and him say, Bill, you were good for absolutely nothing.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of A Revelation That Requires an Examination, from Psalm chapter 19. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request If the Foundations Be Destroyed, What Can the Righteous Do? Part 2, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.